You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith with Marriage After God,
helping you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
And today we're going to talk about asking God to search our hearts. Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast, where we believe that marriage was meant for more than just happily ever after.
I'm Jennifer, also known as Unveiled Wife.
And I'm Aaron, also known as Husband Revolution.
We have been married for over a decade.
And so far, we have 4 young children.
We have been doing marriage ministry online for over 7 years through blogging and social media,
with the desire to inspire couples to keep God at the center of their marriage, encouraging them to walk in faith every day.
We believe the Christian marriage should be an extraordinary one, full of life,
love,
and power
that can only be found by chasing after God.
Together.
Thank you for joining us in this journey as we chase boldly after God's will for our life together.
This is Marriage After God.
Welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast.
The most amazing podcast you've ever been listening to.
Yeah, if you're married, for sure. Actually, I think we have people that are not married listening to us.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Which is awesome. As usual, we want to invite you to leave us a quick review. A star rating is the easiest way to do it. All you have to do is scroll to the bottom of the podcast app and hit the star. But if you have a little bit extra time, you can leave us a text review also, and that helps lots of people see the episode, see the podcast, because it comes up in the rankings the more reviews they have. So that'd be awesome if you can do that. If you've been blessed by the show, we just invite you to do that.
And thank you to everyone who has already left a review and star rating. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, there's tons of them. We have over 600 star ratings and like 70 or 80 text reviews, which is amazing.
And so encouraging to us.
Yeah, I go through and I read them and I send them, I'll text pictures of them to my wife so she can see what they say. They're really encouraging. So we wanted to also invite you to check out our online store, shop.marriageaftergod.com, where my wife and I have written a 30-day devotional bundle for husbands and wives. We've also written a prayer book bundle for husbands and wives. And it's also where we're going to be launching our new book next year, Marriage After God, which this podcast was started because of. And that comes out next year. So if you want to support our podcast, if you love the content, just go to shop.marriageaftergod.com.
For those listening who, like you said, maybe aren't married yet, we also have a book bundle for them. Oh, and yeah, it's Prayers for Your Future Husband and Wife. So you can check that out as well.
Thank you for that reminder. So that's how we get support for our podcast. If you love it, if you want to support the podcast and the content, check out our store and pick up one of our books. That'd be awesome. So before we get into the topic, I'd love to do an icebreaker. This is something we're gonna try doing. It's a new part of our show. And so it actually reminds me of when we used to lead a marriage table back at our old church, babe. Do you remember the how we do icebreakers in the beginning of all of the sessions?
Yeah, it was super fun. I think it was just a way for people to get to know each other on a real quick kind of surface level basis. And so I think it'll be fun. I think it'll give our listeners just a little bit more insight into us.
Yeah, and sometimes it'll be fun. There might be like a little game or something.
I don't know.
So here's the icebreaker. What is your favorite candy?
That's a good one. I have lots of favorite candies. I tend to lean more towards the chocolate, which when I think of candy, I think of hard, like sour, tart things. So I don't know how other people would answer this, but I would just say like a good Snickers bar, good chocolate bar.
Something, do you like the Nougaty Center? What's in a Snickers bar? Peanuts?
There's like caramel, nuts, the nugget, all of it. Mm. Or is it nougat? I don't know.
Nougat?
I don't know what it's called.
I think it's nougat. Nougat. Okay, so now you ask me an icebreaker question.
All right, so you're drinking a cup of coffee right now. What do you like in your coffee? How do you take it? Let everyone know.
Black. Nothing.
I don't put anything in my coffee.
Boring.
Just kidding. I like it that way. I just espresso and water. Hot water, of course. So that's that. I don't know if anyone knew that about me. I just like black coffee. Yeah, it is boring. I don't put any sugar, no cream. I don't even like eggnog in my coffee, even though I love eggnog.
I've never even heard of someone putting eggnog in coffee. Why would you even say that?
Like an eggnog latte.
Oh, I'm not really a coffee drinker, so I don't know what's available. I don't know what's out there.
Yeah. It's the season for eggnog. That's why I brought it up. I'd rather just have a cup of eggnog with a cup of coffee next to it. Okay, so icebreaker done. But I want to, another thing we're going to add to our podcast is I'm reading a book right now and I'm going to read a quote from it. And so I think what we're going to try and do is just take little quotes as we're reading through books and materials that, you know, we are checking out and going through. And the one I'm currently reading is Letters to the Church by Francis Chan. And the quote is on page 78. And it's this: Scripture is clear. There is a real connection between our unity and the believability of our message. If we are serious about winning the lost, we must be serious about pursuing unity. And I just love that because we've been talking a lot about unity in our church lately. A theme in our life lately over the last few years has been unity, just mm-hmm. learning to fall in love with the body of Christ and fall in love with other believers. In the way the Bible has called us to. So that just really spoke to me last night when I read it.
So I love that quote, and I think it's pertinent to what we're going to be talking about today, specifically just introducing what we want to talk about today, because it kind of started out with a little messiness in a relationship that contributed to what we're going to share today. Do you want to share a little bit more about
that? In our small home church, you know, we have a handful of families. And when you walk so closely with people, there's just going to be some messiness. Sometimes there's going to be stickiness. There's going to be hard things. It's mm-hmm. why the Bible talks a lot about our relationships with each other. Mm-hmm. The majority of the Bible is not just our relationship with God, but how he desires us to walk with one another.
Right. Which I really appreciate that about the Bible. I think that it gives us all the tools and encouragement and guidance on navigating the messy parts of relationships.
Yeah. And
for the purpose of unity, which is what you just shared.
Exactly.
On.
And we're not going to talk about the specific situation. We're not going to talk about the specific people.
Well, here's the thing is everybody listening right now can relate to this. Like there, no matter what relationship that you are a part of, there's going to be messiness.
So what all of our listeners can do is as they hear what we're talking about, they can superimpose their own experiences to fill in the blank. And because we don't need to give those details, but because what we want to talk about is what happened
after
because
yeah.
of that situation. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can give a little bit of a synopsis of what happened over the last, you know, few days and maybe what led up to this. And we can talk about our conversation we had.
Okay. So there was this relational messiness that was going on. And you were sharing with me late Saturday night that it on your way home, God had used that situation to prompt your own heart mm-hmm. to kind of confront some things.
Yeah, I took what was going on, and in the midst of what was going on, immediately began to internalize and look inward and say, okay, who am I in this scenario? Who am I at home? Mm-hmm. And I felt like God started just really pointing out in me things and calling out in me things, which is, I believe, is what we should be doing whenever we confront hard things, whenever we walk in trials with our brothers and sisters. I feel like the fleshly response is to look outward and say like, oh, look at this, look who's at fault. This happened, they did this. But the spiritual response should be to look internally and say, who am I? Mm-hmm. You know, what does God want to do in me? How does God want to use this situation to change me, transform me, make me more like him? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we were sitting on the couch that night after the kids went to bed, and you started sharing this with me, kind of like as if this situation pulled up a mirror to your mm-hmm. own life. And what was the specific thing that God revealed to you?
He revealed to me a few things. He revealed to me specifically my harshness at times with my children. Mm-hmm. that my, although I've been growing a lot and I've been, we're trying really hard to disciple our children well and be consistent with them and discipline them well and train them well and raise them well and love them well. I have some areas of my heart and areas of my character that need to be changed. And he used this hard situation in our, in other relationships, in our fellowship, to show me this.
Mm. So what you didn't know, going into this conversation with me, was that I had also been wrestling with some similar thoughts, just about the way that I sometimes react or respond to the kids. And mm-hmm. earlier that day was just a struggle for me. And, I just was short with the kids, you know, a little negative in my responses toward them. And I felt really bad about that. And, you know, we sat there for about an hour and a half weeping over these types of responses, because our kids don't deserve that. You know, our mm-hmm. kids don't deserve us to be, you know, short-tempered or quick in our responses, or, you know, what are some of the other things?
Harsh stares, the way we look at them.
Yeah.
The words we choose to use, the way we word our messages to them.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that we're like this all the time, but there are specific situations or circumstances that happen that we respond to in
fleshly,
this way. Yeah. Fleshly. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And what's funny about this and how God works is our conversation on the couch that night started as a debrief of what we've been dealing with mm-hmm. outside of this conversation. This wasn't even a conversation we were having. And then it just mutated very quickly into a very internally focused, intrinsically focused conversation mm-hmm. about our own, you know, we should call it sin, because mm-hmm. that's what it is. Yeah. Us not walking rightly and us walking in the flesh is sin.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing I think of is, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Mm-hmm. Us not being peaceful with our children, us not being patient with our children, us not being kind or gentle.
Mm-hmm.
It's sin. Because mm-hmm. right before that statement about the fruits of the Spirit is the fruit of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And although we were going through something very hard, and what I think happened is we were already spiritually sensitive because of the things we were going through in the other relationships.
Well, and we were kind of talking, the conversation started out with the different perspectives of that situation mm-hmm. and kind of going to God and saying, what's going on, what's happening, and what needs to happen for reconciliation or unity within the body, within these other relationships. And then, like you said, it kind of just internalized. And I feel like what happened sitting on the couch with you that night is it was almost like God had a bucket, you know, going down into a well, and he was drawing it up, and it was like the bucket was pouring over,
yeah.
you know, and I felt like he was pulling it out of me.
Mm-hmm.
All these things that I wasn't really struggling with in that moment until all of a sudden the light shined on my heart.
I think I said one phrase and it just triggered this whole conversation and softening of our hearts and a revealing of our sin and a conversation that led us to just dive in of like who we are, what we do, are these things going to remain, or mm-hmm. are we going to change them and remove them?
Well, I remember too, like, when a few days before this was happening, I remember driving down the street and I had the same conviction about my role in relationship with my kids. And I brushed it off with the justification of, well, I'm not as bad as some people, or, you know, I don't do it that often. And I had these justifications that made me just kind of like push it aside. And we should never push aside convictions like that. I was realizing
that. But
it's
so easy to.
I know. I know it really is.
Because confronting those things makes us feel ugly.
Yeah.
And that's not fun.
Yeah. So all of a sudden my flesh goes, well, you're not that terrible. You know, when really the things that I was doing, I should definitely stop, and recognize. And so, man, that was a good conversation sitting with you on the couch that night.
It was a necessary one. And so why are we bringing this up to our audience? Are we talking about parenting?
No,
right now? No,
no, it actually has nothing to do with parenting.
No, in our case, it had to do with parenting. It also had to do with, we had some conversations about our marital relationship.
Yep. And how we treat each other.
Yeah. The words we use, are we walking in the roles God's called us to,
mm-hmm.
or are we going outside those? Aren't we fighting against them?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've grown so much in those areas, but at the same time, we can't forget that we aren't perfect yet. Mm-hmm. That God's still sanctifying us and he's changing us and he does it in specific ways. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to bring up a scripture that illustrates this really well. It's Proverbs 17:3. And it says, "The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts." And Proverbs uses this illustration several times. And a crucible is a big old hot pot that you would throw metal into and it melts it down. And you melt it and melt it and melt it, especially with precious metals like silver and gold. And what happens is the more you heat it up, the more you you boil it, the dross, the impurities float to the top, and then you can scrape it off the top, mm-hmm. and then you keep heating it, and then more impurities come up to the top, and you scrape it. That's what a crucible and a furnace is for gold and silver. And I believe God was using this situation in our church with some of these relationships that we were having, that we were navigating issues with, as a crucible for our hearts. It was a spiritually sensitive situation. We're being required to be in the Spirit and being praying and asking for the Lord's will and seeking after his answer for what's going on, which then brought to the surface in our hearts some things that he wanted to scrape away from us.
Yeah. That's definitely what it felt like sitting on the couch with you that night. I just felt like it was like
kind of painful.
Drawing it up. Yeah. But it was good. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the end of it, you said, "Well, we need to change." And then I cried some more and said, "It's so hard. I don't know how to." And you're like,
"Yeah, you're like, what do I do? I feel like I want to change." And what? And you weren't saying just you, like it's us.
Yeah.
But you're like, I feel like I want to, but I don't know how to.
And you said, we just do. God's already given us the Holy Spirit that empowers us and we just need to.
Yeah. And for those that are listening, I'm sure they can think, remember we talked about the filling in the blanks. Like they can think of a situation or something in their life where they're like, "I just don't know how to change. Like, what do I do?" And what's amazing is, and it sounds too easy, and I'm not trying to downplay the difficulty and the struggle that our spirit and flesh have with each other at times, but we can just change because we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Do you remember the illustration I gave Elliot this morning during Bible time? We were talking about the Holy Spirit empowering us, and I used his.
Oh yeah, Tony Stark.
Yeah,
our son's obsessed a little bit with Iron Man. He thinks he's the coolest guy ever.
Yeah, so I was reading in Galatians, and it was talking about being empowered.
We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron.
And I told Elliot, I said, "Elliot, do you think Tony Stark would be powerful without his suit?" And he's like, "Well, no, he's just a man." And I said, "Well, but his suit gives him power. He can fly and shoot blasters." And I was giving all these like little illustrations. And I said, "That's what the Holy Spirit is."
You could see kind of the light bulb go on in his head, like, "Oh, yeah."
I said, "Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything." Which is the Bible tells us we can do nothing to please God without the Spirit of God. We can't do anything apart from the Spirit. But with the Spirit of God, we can do everything. Everything that God wills for our lives, we could actually accomplish through the power of the Holy Spirit. And yeah, his eyes did light up because I equated the Holy Spirit to Iron Man's suit. it's much more powerful than Iron Man's suit.
Yeah.
We have the living God inside of us. We have the power that resurrected Christ from the dead in us. Mm-hmm. And so on the couch, I was like, "I'm not trying to be harsh, but I think we just have to change today." Mm-hmm. We cannot continue in what we were walking in. We cannot continue to give ourselves excuses. We cannot continue operating the way we've been operating. I said, we just have to change.
Mm-hmm. And then you also said, we need to ask God to search our hearts and in humility confront the things that he brings up.
Yeah, like the dross.
Mm-hmm. And deal with it.
Allow him to search us. And that actually came, so right at the end of the night, I made a phone call to a friend, and I told that friend, I said, let God search your heart. Mm-hmm. And I get off the phone, and immediately this conversation like broke out with us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, not to be a hypocrite, I must take my own advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was like, well, am I allowing God to search my heart? And so I said, we need to let God search our hearts, search within us, and show us the things he wants to cut out of us. Mm-hmm. He wants to change in us. And I want to read all of Psalm 139. It's a psalm of David, a man after God's own heart. The Bible calls him that. God calls him a man after his heart. And as I brought up on Sunday when I was talking about this topic and what God was doing in us, I asked everyone, I said, do you want to be people that are after God's heart? And everyone raised their hands
and said, yes. Yeah.
And said, yes. And I was like, well, we have a template for that. Mm-hmm. Like we know someone who, mm-hmm. when they sinned against God and were confronted by God with it, confessed and repented and turned that moment. You know, there were still consequences in his life, but that he was a man that showed us like, oh, when we walk this way, we can turn and walk the other way, mm-hmm. and we can please God with our life. And so Psalm 139 says this, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or what shall I flee from your where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And what's so powerful about this scripture, first of all, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Just David's ability to write poetry and mm-hmm. song. He's very talented. But also his ability to show us the vastness of God's knowledge of us. Mm-hmm. That he knows us better than we know ourselves, better than anyone knows us. He was there before we were formed, had thoughts about us before we formed, knew the days of our lives before they existed. And yet at the very end of this, he still asks this all-knowing God that knows everything about him to search him mm-hmm. and to know him and to know his thoughts. And for the purpose of finding any grievous way in him. And I just think if David did that as people with the Holy Spirit in us who searches our hearts would sit down and say, Lord, is there anything in me you want out of me? I think it's important for us as believers to do that.
Yeah, I know. It's just so beautiful. And I love how you brought up that God already knows us, like inside and out, every which way, before we were even born. Like he's the one that knit us together. He is the one who, made us in the secret place. And I think that that helps us trust him when we cry out to him and say, search me, O Lord. Like, we can trust God because he's the one that created us and he already knows us.
Yeah, and he desires us of our own will to invite him to search us. Mm-hmm. Because we can be oblivious.
Yeah, we can.
It's not an excuse, but often we use it as the ignorance and obliviousness as an excuse of like, well, I didn't know, or, mm-hmm. well, how am I supposed to, you know, I'm not perfect. We use all these words. Like you said, well, I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
And I've done the same thing. When I come to these thoughts that the Holy Spirit's prompting my heart, I say, well, I've changed a lot and mm-hmm. I used to be much worse and therefore I'll get better eventually. And it's not that bad.
Well, we can't be blindsided if we are growing in spiritual maturity to think that we've ever reached, you know, the pivotal place at the top where we're just like perfect.
Yeah, we're there.
We're not there yet. We'll never be there until we're in the presence of God and we have to stand before him.
That's a great point is we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. And so, A, can we humble ourselves enough to recognize that we're not there yet?
Well, we have to.
Yeah.
We need to.
Yeah, the Bible tells us that if we don't humble ourselves, we're going to fall. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to fall. I don't want to, in our scenario, lose our kids. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just continue in these, you know, every once in a while or every so often, things that we deal with, and then it embitter our kids to us.
Mm-hmm. Or set the example so that when their parents, they respond in this way, like, let's just... Mm-hmm. End it. Let's stop that and show them the right way.
And ask God on our knees, change mm-hmm. us, mm-hmm. make us better. Show us how you want us to be, the way everlasting.
Yeah. Cause who benefits right? from when we cry out and say, search me, oh God, of course we benefit from that. If we walk out and pursue what he has for us mm-hmm. in, purifying our hearts and purifying our lives, but who else benefits?
The body, others, mm-hmm. our children, our spouse, our neighbors, it increases unity in the body of Christ and with other Christians. Other people benefit from us inviting God to search us and change us and draw things out of us. And what's awesome is the Holy Spirit's already doing this. His desire is to sanctify us mm-hmm. and transform us from the inside out. But there's something powerful about acknowledging and recognizing that he wants to do that. Mm-hmm. And then the moment, it's almost like, you know, opening the curtains or taking the glasses off or like you're like, oh, like, yes, I'm going to look for the things you want to show me. So when you show me, I'm not going to slough them off. I'm not going to justify them away. I'm going to say, that's something you're showing me. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to change it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk in your spirit. You give me, Lord, help me change it. You know, we woke up that next morning. How did you feel?
Lighter and braver.
Braver, was it? Brave's a good word.
Yeah. I just felt like we could do this. And the coolest part is that we're doing it together. Like, you could have had that revelation from the Lord and just continued on and maybe asked God to search your heart without ever having that conversation with me. But because you entered into that conversation with me, we're able to not just have had an awesome conversation where intimacy took place in that moment,
I was
especially
just thinking the word intimacy, yeah.
over our children. Like, that was so beautiful to me, but that we get to keep each other accountable and walk through it together. That, you know, day to day, we're asking each other, hey, how have you been? How have you been with your attitude? How have you been with your responses? Like, that is what marriage is. That's a part of what marriage is for, why God created, you know, two becoming one.
Yeah. To help sanctify us. To
yeah. So it's
us.
Not just your journey with God, although that's important. It's our journey together and how God can move through our marriage.
Yeah. And that next day, man, it did feel lighter. It did feel like we can accomplish anything with mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. It also it empowered us and made us ready for what God had next for us. And I don't know, I want to encourage everyone listening to consider the things we're saying. You know, I asked everyone on Sunday, I said, go this week and ask God to search you. And it is scary. And I'm pretty sure there are people that haven't done it yet because they're like, okay, am I ready for this? Am I,
what's God going to show me, even though you probably already know?
Yeah. And what's funny is just me even mentioning it, I bet you anything.
What I kept
things just immediately came to people's hearts.
Well, what did I keep saying on the couch that night when I was crying? Do you remember?
We said a lot of things. You kept saying you can't, or
I kept saying, why did you even say anything?
Oh yeah.
Like three different times. I'm like, why did you even say anything? Yeah, why did you bring this up?
I don't even like that you brought it up.
But I didn't mean it. It was my flesh.
Heart,
not wanting to confront certain things, but I know it needed to happen.
And I'm so thankful. I remember telling you, I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, God
brought
it
up. Like,
which I'm grateful for. I really am.
Well, yeah. And
don't you feel unified in our marriage that we know that we're trying to tackle hard things together, with parenting together? Yeah, I just love that.
And what's funny is the more you're with someone, the more you're one with someone, the more your issues are the same. Like, I think when we
start copying each other.
When we first got married, I had my issues, you had your issues, and we've slowly worked through a lot of them, mm-hmm. right? And now we're on the couch crying about the same thing. Like, our horrible parenting or our horrible attitude or our, and I might be exaggerating a little bit, but I feel like I'm not. Like, that God wants us better.
Well,
in these
here's
areas.
The thing. I don't think it matters what level. I think that if it needs to change, he's going to prick your heart about it. And it's our job to have the courage to face it and allow God to transform us. That's the point. It doesn't matter what the level of harshness is. If there's any harshness, God wants it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, level is a good word, because you actually mentioned a while ago, you've talked about how if something you were walking in, a sin, wasn't to the same level of something I was walking in,
I disregarded it.
You would be like, well, it's not that.
It's not as bad as that guy.
Yeah. At least I'm not like my husband and the things he's walking in.
Stop justifying, but Jen.
We can actually, we do that.
I know.
There's things that God might want to change in us. And what we do is we say, well, it's not one of the major sins, so it's not that big of a deal. And God's like, wait, no, I'm not okay with any of it. You know, the Bible tells us to be holy as he is holy. And what that means is that we're pursuing the holiness, which means we're practicing it. In 1 John, it tells us, it says, he who practices righteousness is righteous. Mm-hmm. And that's what God wants. He wants us to practice it, and he teaches us these things. And so,
what's the challenge for them?
The challenge for them is to sit down with their spouse and ask God to search them. As David said, search me, O Lord, know my thoughts, see if there be any grievous ways in me.
And if there are grievous ways and he reveals them to you, which he will, he's faithful and he wants this for us, to have the courage to change.
Yeah, and to realize that you can change and be transformed in those areas, because the same Holy Spirit that just revealed those things to you lives in you, mm-hmm. empowering you to be different, mm-hmm. to be a new kind of human.
Yeah.
As the Bible Project always says, a new kind of human, that we can actually be godly people.
Yeah.
And it's a journey.
Yeah.
And so that was our encouragement for everyone today, mm-hmm. is to do what we just did.
Yeah.
And then to do it often. We're going to do it more often. We're mm-hmm. going to just, kind of a constant prayer of like, okay, Lord, like, is there anything in me? Like, change me, make us new.
Yeah. Well, speaking of prayer, we ended the last episode on spiritual stamina with a time of prayer together, which I really enjoyed. That was really awesome. And we just love that so much that we believe that there's a necessity to be praying with you guys. So at the end of every Marriage After God episode from here on out, we're going to end with prayer. So you can look forward to ending each episode with us. And we just invite you to join us in prayer wherever you're listening.
All right, I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your holy word that guides us and challenges us to be transformed. We desire to be mature. We desire to be who you created us to be. We lay our hearts down before you. Please search our hearts, Lord, and see if there be any grievous way in us. Prune our hearts. Cut out what is sinful and unfruitful. Strip away the bad and replace it with your good. Reveal to us the areas of our lives that need to be repented of, that need to be changed, that need to be transformed. If there is anything we have been hiding, anything we have been avoiding, anything we have been unaware of, please open our eyes to it all and give us the courage to confront it. Lord, help us to deny our flesh and embrace the righteousness through your Holy Spirit living in us. May we never be prideful. May we never be convinced that we don't have room to grow. Search our hearts, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I hope that blessed everyone. Prayer is important. Mm-hmm. God calls us to pray without ceasing. And so have this conversation with your spouse. Get in prayer and see what the Lord reveals. So we thank you for joining us this week. And we hope it blessed you. We hope God's working in your lives. That's our constant prayer for you all. And we look forward to having you next week.
Did you enjoy today's show? Find many more encouraging stories and resources at marriageaftergod.com. And let us help you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join the thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.